Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Stanning BTS.
Yes.
Welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
And what a wonderful hour it is too. But disclaimer, this is a comedy fangirl podcast. So that means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast though. So if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some fucking brown hair Jimin is back, bitches.
Or I may have single-handedly gave Jin's epiphany 2,000 views on YouTube.
Then you're in the right place.
Yes. So real quickly, this episode is quite lengthy and quite research heavy.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep the intro a little bit shorter today, but we want to give a thanks to James at Freaks on Broadway for our tattoos. We forgot to mention it in the last episode.
Yeah.
But he, when he gave us our tattoos, he was like, give me a shout out in your podcast. We're like, okay, we will.
Which, of course, because he did a fucking great job. So if you're in Kansas City and you want to get a cool tattoo, you should see James.
Yeah, he did a really, really wonderful job.
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to say that I passed my boards. I told you all that I was studying for a huge exam. I ended up passing. Yay.
Yes!
I'm super excited.
Yes.
So I'm an official occupational therapist that is registered. And so over the next like 3 or 4 weeks, I'm going to be getting my licensure from the state and then I will be good to go.
Yes. And you can practice.
I can practice, praise.
That is,
I'm ready for that.
So fucking amazing when you texted me and you were like, I passed. I'm like, Thank God.
I really thought I failed. I was like, 100% I failed.
I knew you were going to pass every single big test ever. You've been like, I so failed. I'm going to fail. And I'm like, Bethany, no, you didn't. You studied your ass off. You got this.
I know.
And then you passed.
I'm terrible. I'm terrible. I'm that friend who is always like, I failed. I completely failed. But you're also like an overachiever and do like a lot of studying. Like, I'm that friend. It's awful.
I'm so proud of you. You're so amazing.
Anyways, I wanted to share with all of you guys who aren't on our social media pages who already found that out.
Yeah. Also, just today, so this is Monday right now, technically for us. So BTS just dropped their first two sets of concept photos for Answer.
We've been waiting.
Oh my god, I cannot wait to see the next two, but really, these are so fucking incredible. Like,
they're amazing.
Amazing.
No. Absolutely stunning. So aesthetic, as always.
Yes.
So they ended up releasing today, which is the 13th. They released S and E, and so the S photos, we're not going to go too in-depth on these guys just because of time, but the S photos, they were the ones with, like, the hands and eyes and cameras and, like, the censored screens, and Jungkook is wearing, like, 1984 on his jacket, which is, like, the year that the world's population basically had super controlling government and, like, public manipulation, so... Mm-hmm. We're just like, this is going to get political. These concept photos for sure are talking about, like, fans and just constantly being watched and being seen by the public.
Uh-huh.
Like, they don't really get any alone time. Like, I can't imagine that life.
Yeah. Also, what I love about those photo concept is their outfits to me. I said it really gives me, like, Beatles vibes. Again, I'm talking about this just because their, like, slacks are, like, bell-bottom styled. And they have, like, those, like, ties or, like, you know, like, kind of scarves around their neck. That's just, like, totally, like, 60s vibes. Like, big collars. And, I mean...
Yeah. It reminds me a lot of, like, their Sgt. Pepper's look, which was also... really kind of shocking to people back then. They're like, what is this? Like, it looks so different. And I feel like with these concept photos, a lot of people have had the same reaction. The photos are meant to make you uncomfortable, but, like, their outfits are, I wouldn't say edgy, but different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we're not used to seeing it.
Yeah.
And so, again, it makes you kind of uncomfortable, which is kind of like what Sgt. Pepper's was going for and a lot of what the Beatles were going for. So yeah, I'm on the same page.
Yes, 100%. The other one that they released is E, and everybody in this photo shoot wears white except for Jungkook, who's in black, and they all have flowers except for Jungkook. So it's like, why?
Yeah.
Also, Jungkook is going through an identity crisis or, like, a breakup because he's changed his hair in the past 2 months more than he has in the past 5 years.
That's true. I mean, I was shocked by the purple because we've seen the magenta.
Yeah.
He even had, like, orange for a little bit and blonde. I think it's just been, they've been dyeing it and his hair has just kind of been changing over time.
Yeah.
But it just, like, it's changed so much. It's funny.
All over the place.
Oh my gosh, his haircut looks so good. Like, it's buzzed underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Jimin's is like that too.
Oh, it's so fucking good.
And Tae still has his, like, mullet.
Yeah, the pink mullet. Oh my god.
Bright fucking pink.
And I love Namjoon with, like, the blondish, like, lighter hair. It looks so fucking good. And I don't know why it makes him look kind of, like, boyish the way that it's styled in those, because it's kind of down and, like, in his forehead a little bit. It's just so...
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and Yoongi has, like, purplish hair, too.
Yes.
And J-Hope has, like, a bowl cut again, but he works
It's so fucking good. And then fucking Jin, of course, like, the star of this episode.
I know.
The orange hair.
The orange fucking hair.
Oh, my God.
It looks so good.
Jin's orange fucking hair is just astonishing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. But anyways...
So another thing that I want to mention before we get into Epiphany is BTS, they announced their last show in the United States, and it's going to be at Citi Field. And Time Magazine said, K-pop group BTS will make history. And they're referring to this particular stadium performance that they're going to do. And when I saw this, I immediately retweeted it, and I was like, BTS playing at Citi Field is equivalent of the Beatles playing at Shea Stadium in 1965, because that was, like, a pivotal point for the Beatles, really, was playing in America, a stadium show in America.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, the Beatles did it really fucking fast. Like, I mean, they really became a thing, like, in 1960, 1962, and then by 1965, they were, like, performing at Shea Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But there weren't as many venues back then. So,
yeah.
But Shea Stadium, if you guys don't know, it's in New York, and it's no longer a thing, but across from Shea Stadium, they ended up making, they ended up building Citi Field, which is, like, where the Mets play and, like, big-time artists play. Like, it seats 40,000 people. This is huge. And, like, the motherfucking Grammys, okay, they have been vocal about BTS, which makes me super excited, but they said, a first and a coming of age for Korean musical entertainers. That's what they said about them performing at Citi Field. I'm like, damn.
Yeah. Also, can we talk about how the Grammys, like, has written so many articles about BTS? Like,
I know. They wrote an article about Jin's epiphany, and they even wrote an article about Jin's, like, cover song that he did a couple months ago.
Yeah, I'm sure they've written articles about Answer, like, about, like, all, like, so much. So, like, I'm thinking they may actually get a fucking Grammy. Like,
I'm thinking that too. I'm like,
Yoongi BTS, predicted it, and Yoongi gets what Yoongi wants.
He it's does. Like
facts.
It really is facts. But really, we know that the Grammys have BTS on their radar for sure.
For sure.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get into this episode, which is about Epiphany, or Gentro, like many people on Twitter and Instagram have been calling it.
Yes. Okay, so how about we talk about our first impressions?
Yeah, so my first impression, I was actually editing the podcast. I was editing the V-Min episode. And then all of a sudden, I remember getting a alert on my phone from YouTube. Actually, it wasn't YouTube. It was VLive gave me the alert first, saying Epiphany was, you know, ready and uploaded. So when I got the notification, I was like, oh my God, this takes priority. I turned off the editing and I watched it. So my first impression was kind of how my impression was for Singularity. The whole time I was like, oh my God, this song is Jin. This song was meant for Jin. Like, this song is just so him. It just, the song accompanies his voice so elegantly. Like, it just fits really well. And I also thought, like, his visuals were super stunning. I loved the room, how it was decorated. It gave me very 70s vibes. And then also just, like, the rain scene with Jin was, like, really memorable too, because the music stops at that point. And I was like, God, he's so beautiful. So that was kind of my first impression, just watching it through. I didn't have captions going because I just wanted to experience the video. Of course, after I watched it, I sent it to every one of my contacts. And then I watched it with the captions. And once I saw with the captions, of course, I, like, sobbed at the lyrics because I'm just too fragile. I really am.
Okay, so for me, I was at work and I was like, I don't have cell service where I work. And I got a message on my computer from you, and you were like, oh my God, Kayla, Epiphany. And I'm like, I need to watch this right now. And we were about to go to lunch, and I just really need 5 minutes to watch this video. Please, like, I was just really thinking, like, please, everyone, don't get together in the hallway yet. Like, but then I saw people going out there, and I was like 2 minutes and 14 seconds into the video, and I was like, fuck, like, I have to go. So I just, like, closed my laptop, and I was like, oh my God. Now I had just, like, I was halfway through, but, like, already I was like, oh my God, the lyrics. I loved it immediately. I thought it was beautiful, and I was so intrigued by the video. And, like, you're right, it's totally a song meant for Jin, especially because I feel like Jin has really blossomed into his true happiest self over the years with BTS, and that's kind of,
yes,
like,
totally.
Yeah, and that's kind of, like, what this song seems to convey. So, like, when I finally got home from work and I got to watch it all the way through, I was just in love.
I completely agree. It's meant for him. Yeah. So, okay.
Okay.
In this episode, we're going to kind of do it like we did for Singularity. So we're going to talk about the vocals. We'll talk about the music video. And then we'll kind of go into the visuals and his acting. Mm-hmm. Then we'll hit on the lyrics and meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will go into some theories. And then we'll kind of collect it all together here at the end with just our overall thoughts.
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, the vocals. This song is really a ballad, a true ballad.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, K-pop loves its ballads, and this is just instantly like a classic. It's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous. And what's interesting about it is Billboard, they described it as a rock medley. And then Rolling Stone described it as an alternative rock with blends of soft acoustic guitar with wavy electric riffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's beautifully put because the instrumental behind Jen's voice is really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of like it has this alternative. I mean, you can hear this guitar in the background. And there's also some string instruments and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really this kind of pop rock medley alternative ballad is really what it is.
Yeah, there's definitely some new age with that, like, comfortable pop rock that we like, you know, that like everybody knows. It's but it's so beautifully blended with like his voice and everything. Also, like, I just want to talk about the power behind his voice. Like, we always talk about that Jin is a powerhouse, but
he,
like,
really is, though. Yeah,
in this song he is so smooth, and it's like totally in like his just like perfect register. And he can just live in those deep notes. But then when he brings it up high, it's like perfect and like ringing and just so lovely. Oh my God.
I know. Yes. Kind of like he does in Awake, but it's honestly, it's better. I think it's better. I've listened to this song so much in the past like 3 days, but it really, his tone is just so sentimental and somewhat kind of tender, but also like, obviously, it's super passionate, but it has this kind of romantic vibe.
Yeah.
And it really does sound like a love ballad for himself.
Oh, my God.
Tears.
Like, you're so right. It really is. It's because it's, oh, my God, that's so true.
I know. It's just amazing. You can't listen to the song and not cry at some point.
It hits home for everyone. Like,
his voice somehow just touches you in this way that it emotionally pulls at you. And
you're
you
so
just
right.
feel things. You just feel things.
Yeah. It's
but,
like,
yeah.
Man.
God, this song is so fucking good. Like, it exceeded all my expectations. I love it so much. It's genius. It's so Jin. It, like, is wrapping up the love yourself concept.
It's so funny because when you first, like, messaged me about it, you were like, I think it needs to grow on me. But I think because of the research, it grew on you, like, so fast.
This is how I feel about a lot of BTS songs. Honestly, DNA and Fake Love, especially Fake Love. This sounds terrible, but Fake Love took a while to grow on me.
Mm-hmm.
I had to really listen to it. And so I feel like every song I listen to, I'm like, I don't know. But then I listen to it a lot, like, obviously on repeat because I love them. And it just always blows my mind, except for Singularity. Singularity blew me from the moment I heard it. I was like, yes! But that's a different story. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into the storyline.
Oh my God.
Of what happens in this music video, because a lot fucking happens.
Yeah. We're gonna try to, like, condense it as much as possible because it is, you know, it's so detailed. And this video is not that long, but there's a lot in it.
I mean, it's 4 minutes.
Oh, that's true. I mean,
there's,
but like, there's like
there's
a break.
Not, yeah, there's not a lot of scene changes. You know, like,
yeah,
there's a lot of scene
I mean.
Changes in Singularity. There's a lot of scene changes in Serendipity. And Euphoria is like fucking forever long. So we have Epiphany. And there's really not that much lyrics. But in terms of like the setting, there's only two settings. There's one room. And then a scene where he goes in with the rain outside.
Yeah.
But it's just like a black screen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's really only one room that this all takes place. So we just have to describe this fucking room.
Yeah. So So there's a leather couch sitting in a small living room area with a coffee table in the center of it. And it has the coffee table has a vase with calla lilies sitting in it. Mm-hmm. And this is like in the foreground of the shot. And then there's like a couple lamps and small chairs also sitting like near the couch and around the coffee table.
Mm-hmm.
On the far left, there's a large familiar painting hanging on the wall.
Yeah.
And there's also a double-doored closet in the far back left of the room. And it has, the door is open and you can see, well, no, the door's not open at that point. But next to it is like a robe hanging on the wall.
Mm-hmm. So then on the far right is a sink and a mirror that has its own little corner built into like the architecture of the room. Mm-hmm. So honestly, this setup kind of looks like there's two or three rooms wedged together, kind of like a stages for a play or musical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like a, it kind of reminds me of like a flat, like an apartment flat, just like a really open small one.
It could just be really open like that. Cause there is another door next to the sink that could potentially be like the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So there's two doors on both sides of the sink, and then there's a large bay window to the far right. And so, in general, the floor and the furniture give off kind of this 70s retro vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, there's a large light fixture above the family room area that has six very large round bulbs hanging from it.
Yeah. There's some speculation about those, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
So the music video starts off with a black and white filter. And this kind of will change a little bit as we move into the video.
Mm-hmm.
And right at the beginning, there's two djinns in the shot in this room. And so there's one djinn sitting on the leather couch, and he seems kind of like content, just normal. Mm-hmm. And then there's another djinn standing at the sink looking at himself in the mirror.
Yes. And so the djinn looking in the mirror, he ends up turning off the light and then heads out the door. And then the song for Epiphany begins to play. And the camera zooms in on the djinn that's sitting on the couch. And beside him are those lilies and the notebook that we've seen in past music videos and trailers mm-hmm. and stuff. He's wearing kind of this loose button-up shirt with these large floral images on it. And then he also has these loose dress pants that are kind of plaid-like.
Yeah.
And then he also has these cute white sneakers on that I think just look so good on him.
I just love his print mixing. Like,
yes, it looks good.
It looks so good. First of all, floral is my shit. I love wearing floral. And then, like, the plaid pants go perfectly with it because they're not, like, really full plaid. Like, there's a lot of open space in them. So it just looks so good.
Yeah, it's just, like, vertical and horizontal lines making mm-hmm. rectangular shapes.
Yeah.
Like, that's really what it is.
Yeah. So next in the video, it's kind of a shot of him sitting there. He has his legs crossed, and he looks inquisitive and thoughtful. And then he leans over and reaches for the notebook beside him, and he opens it. And then the camera starts to slowly zoom out, and we can see another djinn at this point sitting on the floor next to a large, or the large, bay window. And it's like, it's open. I feel
it's
like it's open.
It is open. Yeah. I just think it's funny that we have to refer to another djinn. Like, there's like multiple djinns throughout this video, which is funny.
Yeah. And I feel like this kind of gets into the theories, but they all kind of connect. It's not like they're separate. Like, they're all in this storyline, just the storyline is happening at different
times. Absolutely. But Jin doesn't see the other Jin in the room, you know.
No.
So you know that these are different points in time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sitting on the ground by the window, and he looks mm-hmm. sad, exhausted, tired. I mean, he is looking out the window, and then he eventually looks away and just kind of rests his head in between his legs. He just looks like he's exhausted, kind of doesn't know what to do, lost. So the djinn on the couch, he then gets up and walks to the closet as the line for the song sings, "I'm the one I should love in this world." So right as he walks to the closet, the black and white filter begins to slowly convert to color. And this is like after he sung, "I'm the one I should love." So it starts to turn to color. He grabs a jacket that matches his pants. He walks away. He puts on the jacket and he walks over to the sink. He turns on the light and he gets a close look at himself in the mirror before turning off the light and heading out the door. And when he looks in the mirror, he can see his reflection. Like, we see the reflection in the mirror.
Yeah, he gets really close and like stares for a good while.
Yeah, which kind of hints at another theory that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So then the scene changes to, obviously, Jin went out the door, so he's outside now. He's walking in the rain in like slow motion.
Yeah, and we have like a complete scene change here.
Yeah. Where
we went from this room to outside.
Mm-hmm. And it's like all black around him. It's like just all you can see is light reflecting off of this rain just pouring down on him. And then, oh my God, this is like a blessing in this video.
The camera does
a close-up shot of him, and he like wipes his mouth with the back of his hand, and like he just stares at the camera. Oh,
I know. Anyways, I know. Okay, what ends up happening after this is then like thunder and lightning strike, and the music just stops, and we see Jin arch his neck back to kind of face the rain pouring down on him.
Mm-hmm.
And just, oh my gosh, visuals,
yeah.
Aesthetic,
yeah.
Beautiful,
yes.
Perfection,
yes.
Just wow.
Yes. And they like cut it right when it gets like the best part, when his head gets tilted just at the furthest point back, and then they cut it to like a profile shot. And it's like, no, I want to see that shot like for just like
three seconds
longer. It's so good.
It's so amazing. God, he's just gorgeous. Okay.
It's like unfair, truly. Like, on top of these beautiful fucking vocals is this beautiful visual, like, masterpiece.
This stunning man. Like, I know. What a man.
What a man.
This is my own little theory that did not get touched on during our, like, theory research.
Uh-huh.
What I find interesting is when he opens the door before he goes out in the rain, it's clearly sunny. Like, when he opens the door, there's, like, a bright light coming from outside, shining, just, like, a shadow of the door, you know, because there's clearly sun.
Yes.
But then once he's outside,
it's raining.
It's pouring.
Yes.
And anytime the door is opened, it's bright and sunny when it's actually pouring outside. So I'm like, what?
Bethany.
Why?
I can share this now, but
Do you have a theory on it?
I have a theory. So this actually works into what we're talking about right now. So I'm just going to say like the next thing that happens, and then I'll say the theory for it.
Okay, cool.
So he's out in the rain, and then we get like a wide shot of him from the side, and you can definitely tell the rain is now going upwards, but it seems like it's in reverse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, after that, he enters back into the room. He's completely soaked, jacket in hand, looking kind of sad, and then he wipes his mouth again. And then the camera zooms out slightly and revealing like a dry, somewhat content looking Jin sitting with his legs crossed on the couch. Okay. So this is where we're at.
Okay.
Okay. So here's what I think.
Okay.
When content couch Jin, who went to the closet and got a jacket and stared at the mirror and then went out the door into sunlight. So he went out, okay? This is not in the same sequence.
It's not at the same time period. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not in the same time period. So he's not walking out to the rain right there, and he's walking out to the sunshine. Now we're looking at the story, focusing on the part of the other Jin who was, like, curled up next to the window. So he comes in. We see him in the rain. We see the rain reverse, which means something.
Yes.
It's like time is going backwards.
Yes.
And he comes in. He seems to dry pretty quickly. So it's almost like even being out in the rain was going away from him, was like reversing. Okay, so then he walks over towards the window, right? That Jin who came in the door. But the camera doesn't follow him. He just goes out of the shot. But it's assumed that he goes out of the window, because then content couch Jin gets up from the couch, walks over to the window that has open curtains, and he closes them. So it's like that Jin is like gone.
Okay, but how do you know that he went out? How do you know he went out the window?
I just feel like it's assumed. Like, he goes off. Like, where else would
Are
he go?
Are all the other djinns prior to this going out the window, too? Like, where have they gone?
I feel like there was there's only two djinn storylines. There's the contemplating djinn that's, like, on the couch, yeah. like, going through the same cycle, walking out the sunny door. And then there's, like, the djinn that's stuck staring in the mirror, the djinn that's, like, curled up in a ball, and the djinn that's standing in the rain. Like, that's the other one that's, like,
okay,
I don't know.
There's two djinns, is what you're trying to say. There's only two yeah. stories going on here. Okay. My only question for this is, like, when djinn comes back after being soaked in the rain, when he opens the door to come in, the sun is shining. So it's, like, I don't know. Did it clear up by the time he got back? I don't know. Anyways, we're getting so deep into it.
I have no idea.
But, okay. Djinn goes to the window and he closes the curtains. Dry Djinn. Beautiful, aesthetic, couch-sitting dry Djinn. Okay, so Djinn then, who, like, closed the curtains, walks over to the closet and he takes out his jacket, that typical jacket that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Except this time, when he goes for the closet, the color of the film starts to fade and is replaced with a black and white filter. Mm-hmm. So opposite of what happened last time he opened the closet. Mm-hmm. So again, he puts on his jacket. And this is couch Djinn, like beautiful, dry couch Djinn. So he yeah. puts on the jacket. Yeah. He goes to the sink. He turns on the light. He looks at himself. He doesn't see his reflection this time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. And then he walks over to the chair. He grabs the notebook that is sitting on it, that red notebook. And then he opens it. He walks over to the light. He turns it off. And then he walks out the door. And then after he walks out the door, these white Korean characters begin to be typed on the screen, translating into English as, "At the end of the journey to find myself, the place I reached is in fact where I had already been. In the end, what I have to find is that which is the beginning of all things, the milestone, the map of the soul, that which is with anyone but cannot be found by simply anyone. I seek to begin searching for it from now." And then the scene, it fades away, and it fades into a picture of Djinn, who's resting his arms on that black Ford truck.
Yes.
Yes, his car, sitting on the beach where we first saw in prologue.
Mm-hmm.
And the footage, it's just Djinn. No one else is there. The footage kind of glitches, and mm-hmm. then it adds six other members. And inside, they're, like, inside the hood of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's interesting because it must have changed back to a black and white filter.
Yeah.
But once the members are added, that black and white filter is lifted and it reveals them all in color. I'm crying. Like,
it's just so good. That ending is, like, instantly one of my favorite endings to, like, any music video of BTS ever. I set, like, a fan art of it as the background of my phone. It is just so beautiful. It's like, look, in every other fucking video in fucking Run, Djinn disappears from the rest of BTS. And then in this video, he's standing there and then they are put there. And it's like they're together, like, again. I feel like it's just setting up for, like, going into Wonder already. Like,
yes, I know.
Okay.
So that's kind of like the music video summed up.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly.
Powwow. Okay. We also have next, we're going to talk about the visuals / like the acting. So
first we want to say that we want the K-drama.
We want the fucking K-drama.
We need it.
How long have we been asking?
Forever. Since this podcast started.
We want it. We need it. The world needs it.
Yes. But really, though, so in Epiphany, like, Djinn has amazing acting skills. Mm-hmm. Like, you can tell that he's been trained in it, or maybe he's just naturally good at it. Because, I mean, it looks like a K-drama. It really does.
He just, his facial expressions are so easy to read, and you can see the subtleties in his mood and how they change over the whole video.
Yes. Like, sometimes he looks really sad and somber, and then other times mm-hmm. he looks really wistful and insightful and, like, content almost.
Yeah. He's a master of his craft.
His mini crafts.
his crafts. Truly, if someone were to have an epiphany, like, during the turning point of a movie or something, this is how the actor would fucking portray it.
No, for sure. Like, if someone was acting and in the script it said, act as if you're having an epiphany, boom, there you go. That is what Jin does throughout this entire music video.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, like, even the way he walks is good acting, honestly. Like, it's aesthetic, and it contributes. Yes. It contributes to the mood of the movie. Like, I mean, the music video.
He just kind of, like, saunters around. Like,
yes. Like, the way he's walking, it's mm-hmm. kind of slow. It's, like, one foot in front of the other. It's not apprehensive, but it's not, like, super confident. Like, it's just...
He's not leading with his chest or anything. It's just kind of like his feet are pulling him somewhere.
Yeah.
And he's just doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he's not really thinking about walking. He's thinking more about his epiphany mm-hmm. while he's walking. So yeah. It's just like this slow, thoughtful walk, I guess.
But yeah, anyways. It's totally thoughtful.
But anyways, for the music video, they must have pulled up the volume on his shoes, clicking through this room. Because I swear, it's like ASMR. Like, if you really listen to it, you would think you're mm-hmm. listening to an ASMR video.
It does give me major ASMR vibes. And at the moment, I can't remember what it's called. But there's a specific type of, like, person that works on movies and music videos and everything to add, like, real sound effects, like the sound of people walking, the sound of people doors opening and closing, like all the things we hear in this video. And I feel like that's what took place. Like, they put, like, studio made footsteps into it.
Yes,
and
yes. That's why, like, they're not so... his actual footsteps. No. Like, they remake the sound.
Yeah, yeah, because there's no way.
Oh no, absolutely. I wanna they say, had to have done that, right?
I cannot remember what it's called right now. It is gonna really bother me.
I totally know what you're talking about, though. Like, I've seen behind the scenes for movies where they remake these noises with other kind of household objects and things like that.
Okay, it's okay. Not, yeah. It's called a Foley artist. I thought that's what it's called.
A Foley?
Yeah, F-O-L-E-Y.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so they, like, remake real sounds and put it... And that's what it totally sounds like, and that's why it's so ASMR. And we hear those videos, like... Or not those videos. We hear those sounds throughout the video, like, with the book, with, like, the door, the curtains. It's really good.
It's just so funny because when I hear the word Foley, I think of a catheter.
I know.
Like a bag of urine. You're just
still on this.
So I'm like, oh, Foley artist. Okay. Like, what?
Yeah. See, like, I thought that's what it was, but I also was thinking Foley catheter. And I was like, I know that's what Bethany is going to think. But yeah. I was like, I'm really sure that's what it was. So I had to look it up, and it is. So, but anyways, the visuals.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about the visuals. So... We got to talk about the scene where he's standing in the rain.
Mm.
I mean, I think that might be the pivotal point of the whole music video.
Yeah.
So it's, like, also the most aesthetic, the most beautiful shots of Jin and the whole thing, except the one where he's by the bay window, like, he's looking out the window. That's mm-hmm. a pretty good one, too. I mean, honestly, the whole fucking thing, he just looks goddamn gorgeous.
It's so true. I feel like when you say that the rain part is, like, a pivotal part, I so agree, because the way that he, like, tips his head back is almost like he's accepting this truth that he has to love himself. Like,
yeah. And then he looks up at the rain, like, mm-hmm. he's confronting his problems and his worries and concerns.
Oh my God. Like, yes.
Head on. Like, yes. Oh my gosh, Kayla. You know what I realized about myself? This is such a sidebar, guys.
What? Tell me.
I say so many fucking cliches in this podcast. Like, I never say these things in real life. Well, like, I think the last one I said, go big or go home, when I heard that, I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, like, my God.
I say so many cliches, but I don't say them in real life. So I'm like, what is happening? What about putting a mic in front of me makes me want to say cliches? Anyways, total sidebar.
Go big or go home, Bethany.
I really hate it. I really hate cliches. So I'm like, why am I saying them?
Well.
Anyways.
Okay.
Total sidebar, guys. Sorry.
Anyways, yes, it is totally like he's confronting his feelings and like facing it head on and finally, like, I don't know, almost like accepting that that's part of him. Yeah. And that that's his struggle, but also that he can love himself at the same time. So I guess it should be time to get into the lyrics and the meaning right now, just going off that.
Yeah, let's get into the lyrics and meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of since like the end of 2015, really, Jin has been this character in the music videos who kind of always seemed to be looking in on the boys, mm-hmm. like from the outside. We realize this. It's where we got all these, Jin is dead.
Jin is controlling them. Jin is evil.
Yes.
All
and
of that.
Time travel.
Yeah.
Time travel
the time travel is like the most valid one, to be honest.
It is. But anyways, he's been looking in on all the boys. So it only makes sense that he would be the intro for Answer. Because he's been looking in and he's been trying to find the answer mm-hmm. all this time. And mm-hmm. he does give us the answer through Epiphany. And the lyrics are quite literally an epiphany.
Yes.
And honestly, there's not that many lyrics. Like, it's really short. But the lyrics and the meaning are so clear. They're so simple and they're easily put.
Mm-hmm.
And so the answer and the meaning of the song is pretty straightforward in saying, I'm the one I should love.
Mm-hmm. And love yourself seems to be like a quite obvious answer to all of these theories and yes. to like, I mean, to this whole, I mean, what is this 4-part fucking album series, you know? So it seems like to be the obvious answer, but like, though it seems so obvious, we still weren't sure of the answer which stands true for loving yourself. And we have to explore the pathways on how we're going to love ourselves. And that's truly the hardest part. So they had to take us through all of that.
Through
you know,
the journey.
Her,
yes.
Her tear. And now we're finally seeing. And just this song, Epiphany, is not the whole answer. You know, like we still have the rest of the album. So
with this, like, we're getting the answer. As you said, it seems obvious, but at the same time,
there's so many layers to it. There's so much.
I mean, we were all like, we hope Answer brings answers, but then, like, the whole series is called Love Yourself. Mm-hmm. The answer was in front of us the whole time. And it's like we knew that. Kind of like you should know, and you do know that you should love yourself. But the act of loving yourself is quite difficult.
So fucking hard.
Yes. And that, I mean, they delivered that message to mm-hmm. us through this Love Yourself series. And the answer was in front of us, just like, you know, our day-to-day lives. We know we should love ourselves, but even then we're still kind of searching for mm-hmm. answers.
We have to like put in the work, you know? And
yeah, exactly.
So Jin sings the line, I got to fully reveal my true self under the smiling mask. I'm the one I should love in this world. And it's just, it's so good. He also goes on to say, though I'm not perfect, I'm so beautiful. I think there's like a few different translations. I like in the music video, it says, I'm not so perfect, but I'm so beautiful. And I just love how those two phrases mirror each other. And it just acknowledges that, like you don't have to be perfect. Why is that even, like perfection isn't attainable. We know this. That's why it's called perfection. So you don't have to be perfect to say that you're beautiful. And I just love that line. And like being imperfect is beautiful because everybody is worthy and deserving of self-love. So it's like this song just really hit me in that point, like in that part in me.
Yes, I love that it's so straightforward because they want their message to be clear. Mm-hmm. You need to love yourself. That is the ultimate goal. And so what I love about this is as the song goes on, later in the song, the first verse is replaced with a new line that says, I want to love them in this world. So I want to love them. Mm-hmm. And this kind of nods to the idea that we must learn to love ourselves before we can love others.
Yes.
And so you need to have self-love before you can truly love another. Mm-hmm. And this is what Jin has been struggling with the whole time. Like, mm-hmm. he loves these seven men in front of him. He loves them like his fucking children, okay? Like, they are his best friends. But no matter what he does, no matter how much he changes what happens, no matter how much he changes himself, he's realized that he can't change, like, he can't find this happiness mm-hmm. for them and for himself. Mm-hmm. And this epiphany, he says in the lyrics, I finally realized, so I love me. Mm-hmm. He says, so I love me, so I can love them.
Yes.
And it's just like, since prologue, mm-hmm. I mean, since fucking prologue, really, all he has wanted to do is to see his friends happy. Mm-hmm. And no matter what he did, no matter how much he tried to help them, he never seemed happy, and they never seemed happy. Mm-hmm. Ugh. Just this epiphany.
Yeah, he finally had it. And then so he's like, okay, I have to love myself before I can love them. And it's just, I guess overall, it's such a simple answer, but it's such a complex journey to really loving oneself. And that's just the best. I mean, it's how I feel like this series is going to start to begin to wrap up with answer, you know, and like you said, like wonder is going to just be like that amazing just ending, but this album is kind of, it seems kind of like the climax already. And
yes,
like, oh my god, so anyways,
it's really the end. It's really the end.
Yeah,
it's sad that it is.
Anyway.
Let me just cry some more. Like, yeah. It's so sad because we're like, man, Answer hasn't even been released, but I feel like it's over. Like, BTS is done. Like, this is the impact, the delivery that Jin had on this song, that it was like, okay, goodbye. Like, this is the answer.
No,
and
they're
not
done. They're not done.
They're not done, no. No. But he gave us the answer, so.
So, I guess we should get into theories.
Yes, let's get into theories. There's a lot, guys.
There's and we a fucking lot.
We don't really know the truth behind the theories. We're just telling them to you that we've read about.
So, first of all, the rain falling in reverse and the multiple djinns. There's like a few questions that go along with this theory. And one, it's like, does the rain revive him? Is it like a symbol of his epiphany to love himself? It's like refreshing and renewing him. Mm-hmm. It also goes along with like the time travel theory that we like, where like the events seem smooth and linear in the music video, but they actually repeat themselves with this pivotal moment being the rain, hence why it falls in reverse. And yes. Then, like, we already talked about the multiple djinns that we see, the wet, dry, or the wet, sad one, and, like, the content couch djinn. And
too bad we can't name the episode that, the content couch djinn.
I mean, let's fucking do it.
Instead of
content couch djinn.
Instead of Gentro. Gentro is so cute. Yeah. We can do Gentro : the content.
No, that's too long. Gentro is not. Gentro is what everybody calls it. Nobody is calling it content couch djinn.
Okay, fine. Let's name it that.
Yes. Okay. So, anyways, some people think that he turned back time one last time since he like found the answer, but basically through these series of music videos, he's been constantly turning back time.
I'm so sorry. I'm still laughing at content.
You're still laughing.
I need to collect myself. It's not that funny. Okay.
Content couch.
Okay. So, continuing with the theories. Okay. So then there's the red notebook that we first saw in Love Yourself Her, the highlight reels for Love Yourself Her. Mm-hmm. And we see like a girl across these train tracks and she's holding mm-hmm. that red notebook. And she drops it and Jin picks it up. So we see that back then, but we, of course, see it quite frequently in Epiphany. I don't really know what it represents. There's also, like, a bunch of notes throughout, like, all of this. Like, everyone writes in dates and notes and stuff. And so, like, Big Hit will post it and it'll be a note from, like, Jungkook or whatever. And mm-hmm. so I kind of think that might go along with the red notebook. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like,
I don't know.
Like a sisterhood of the traveling pants. I don't know.
Like, these are just reoccurring themes, you guys. We're not pretending to have the answers on what they are. Okay, so the next kind of like thematic thing that we see like the calla lilies and the smeraldos. So it's like, do the lilies represent Jin's love? We know about the lilies. Aren't they in Blood, Sweat, and Tears? I feel like.
Yeah, and I need
you. The Japanese version, and I need you. They're in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he like lies them on the ground a lot. He'll lie them on the floor. And then I know that like Taeyong, his bloody hands, I think, were they turned into holding the lilies. Yeah.
So, I mean, the lilies kind of made us think, like, was he switching places with them? Was he fixing their problems? And that's, like, kind of the mark that he left or whatever.
Yeah. Or was that, like, his love? Was that his love he was trying to give them? Or, I mean, just a piece of him that he was giving to them to help them? I don't know.
Yeah.
So another thing is the window and curtains, which is a really big one. So some say that this might be where he time travels. Like, this is his way when he closes and opens the windows and curtains, really the curtains, is how he travels to the future or the past. Like, it's almost like he's looking through the window, and the window is how he can see his friends. And
I like this theory.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Like, he's looking at his friends, BTS, through the window, and what is happening to them, he can either close or open the curtains. He can either travel to that time or back to that time to change it. And so, I mean...
But he can always look at them. And sometimes he's looking at them, like, scared and upset. Like, when Yoongi's on fire and he's just, like, he can't do anything. He's just watching. Mm-hmm.
Another common theme is, like, the painting hanging on the wall, which we also see reoccurring in paintings and pictures throughout the series. So we see it in Blood, Sweat, and Tears. We see it in Jungkook's Begin. I mean, continuously throughout. There's always, like, some sort of painting.
Yeah. So the next kind of, like, thing that we see is a lot of people on Twitter were noticing that the light fixture that's hanging in the middle of the room has six large bulbs. And some people were like, are these army bombs with, like, the tops off? Which I thought was, like, I mean, they kind of look similar, but I'm like, that's kind of dumb.
They do kind of look like army bombs. They're huge.
Yeah. But, and then other people were like, do they represent the six members because there's six light bulbs, like, in this fixture?
Yeah.
So I don't really know. I'm not, like, I'm like, okay, is BTS being that deep and it can, these, like, six light bulbs can all represent these things, or, like, represent army with army bombs, or is it just a fucking light fixture hanging from the ceiling?
That's, like, you know, a what 70s I'm saying? Style. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, that just fits the theme of the room.
I mean, I could see Big Hit putting that light fixture together and then being like, what kind of room would this go along with? Like, what kind of fashion or style? And then they were like, oh, let's do a 70s retro theme.
No.
Room. But why else would it be a 70s? Why do you think it's a 70s retro themed room? Like, that furniture. I mean,
look at their outfits for the concept photos. They're true. Totally wearing that's, like 70s.
You're so and right.
People have been saying, on Twitter, like, a month ago, that this album is going to be retro-sounding music. Bethany, I'm telling
you're so fucking
this is
right.
Why I've been saying the fucking Beatles.
I take it back.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, so another thing that happens is Jin kind of wipes at his mouth. Like, he rubs his mouth with the back of his hand. And then also there's, like, some other kind of parallels with all the members that people are kind of making from this. So he ends up looking in the mirror, and Hobi does that, and I need you. We kind of see when he decides to take the pills and all that. We also see Yoongi several times in other music videos where he rubs his mouth in a very similar way. We also see Taeyong, who curls up in a ball during Stigma's short film and during Prologue. And then we also see Jimin, who also stands in reverse rain during Lie. And then, I mean, honestly, there's all these parallels, but I haven't seen one for Namjoon or Jungkook.
I don't know, Bethany, but, like, I just had a thought.
What?
Like, what the fuck if every single member represents one of Jin's, like, internal battles that he's had to fight and overcome?
Oh, that's a lot of battles.
At least.
That's a lot of battles.
But I'm
how do you kill your father and want to commit suicide and like have Munchausen's?
That's true. Okay, when you put it that way, it's so fucking true. But when you also think about that, he has these little, like, characteristics of the other members. So it's like, what if they're all kind of, like, a part of him?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Now this sounds stupid when you put it that way.
I mean, this is what theories are all about. Like, we don't really know, right?
Yeah. I mean, we don't.
No, we definitely don't, guys. I did a lot of the theory research, and I was like, Kayla, SOS.
I was, like, fucking busy. I really don't know. Okay, so the next thing that we need to talk about is, like, his reflection in the mirror. And so we talked about the first time it shows his reflection, and the second time it doesn't. We also see, like, mirrors and shattered mirrors, et cetera, in I Need You.
Yeah, and other...
And, like, in other videos. Yeah. Yeah. So...
There's also...
I don't know. It's kind of, like, moving away from vanity, maybe, and, like, not, you know, focusing as much on that, especially if you're thinking about the concept photo is like, they're being in the public eye type thing. So trying to kind of move away from that, like, always staring at your reflection. And we saw that reflection in Fake Love, and it was, like, a negative reflection of Namjoon. And so it's, like, has he moved past that or something?
Yeah.
I just have no idea.
Mm-hmm. So we also see the black and white filter, which we talked about. And Rolling Stone said... Quote, the black and white filter is used perhaps to indicate changes in eras and the futility of his actions. And so it's kind of like, do the boys bring light into his life? Does loving himself bring light into his life? I mean, it's just the black and white filter, the way that it's placed in the music video, it's like it was definitely put in at a specific time. Someone thought about it, so it's it does represent something.
In the first time that it happens, you could say it seems like it's when it's happening because he's loving himself, right? Because the lyrics totally match up with it at that part when he's singing I'm the one I should love as he's walking toward his closet and the light starts to brighten and show color, right?
Yeah.
But then later in the video, after all of that happens and it seems like there's some sort of resolution for him, then the color starts to fade away and it goes back to black and white. And I know at the end when BTS like joins together, it gets color again, but just thinking about the scene in that room with the color change just in that room, it almost seems like it's when he's made specific choices for his path or whatever. But
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. It's just kind of interesting how they decided to put this black and white filter, and it gives you the vibe of exactly what you think a black and white filter would do, is like sad and contemplative and, you know, not,
but also like, it's almost like final, you know, like, and I don't know, just like when it switches back to color at the end with all of BTS together, it's like hopeful and happy and this is the now it's the positive because they went through that negative.
Yeah. And so another kind of theory that's been developed is about the photo at the end of Jin in the black truck. So during Run, Jin disappears from the photo, but all the other BTS members are still next to the truck. But in Epiphany, Jin is there and then the boys reappear. And again, people think that this is just Jin loving himself allows him to love his members, to love his friends. And so did Jin lose himself? And so then he lost his friends. But then when he found himself, he also found his friends, like his friends came back. So it's just interesting to think about that, too.
Or like you could also think of it in a way as not his friends leaving him, but him leaving his friends. When he lost himself, he couldn't be with his friends because he was so lost. And it kind of makes me think of, like, I don't know, like depression. Like when if you're super depressed, you don't want to, you just, it's not even that you don't want to, you just can't. Like, it's like you don't you just don't have the energy. Or if you're like, if my anxiety is really bad, I'm just like, I would rather just be home alone than like deal with going out if I know I'm going to be anxious, you know, if it's one of those times.
Yes. See, personally, I can relate with the anxiety thing.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I've gone through such debilitating anxiety episodes where I literally cannot be with friends because I'm afraid that something bad is going to happen to me while I'm with them. And that alone will stop me from hanging out with them. And it's just, you know, it's just one of those things. So
it's like, you know, if Jin is battling like personal battles where he has lost himself, as you're saying, then it's like he can't be with the boys. And then once he learns to love himself, he can once again join his best fucking friends because...
Yeah, and that's where his happiness is. His happiness is in loving himself. And through that, he can find his happiness and love for his friends. Ugh, just
it's amazing.
Such a beautiful message. And he delivers it so fucking well in this. Like, damn. Ugh. Anyways... Also, another thing that I think is totally random and weird is at the very end of that scene, people see this kind of like object in the ocean, like where there's like the there's the truck and the friends and
there's like a lot of different things that people say that this is. Some people said that it's the painting that was hanging in the room. Some people say that it's the bird painting from Awake. Which I don't know how you would distinguish between one painting and the other painting, but okay.
No, it's like you can barely tell it's wood. If it is.
Some say it's a connection to the doors Yoongi burned in Fake Love. And some say it's a window, a.k.a. Well, this is... Okay, some. This is me, but I feel like other people say this too. It's a window, a.k.a. Yeah. His method of travel, a.k.a. a further indication that his, like, time travel is done. Because he's, like, found happiness. Well, I don't know if I really asserted that earlier in this chat, but I really do feel like him closing the curtains is, like, it's over. Like, that...
It's done. Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll see it again in Euphoria. I really do. Not Euphoria, but, like, Wonder. I think we'll see it again. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe Euphoria is the end. Like, once you find the answer, it is, like, this wonder and Euphoria. Yeah. I don't know. I could totally be wrong. But if we see it again, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, it is such a huge theme.
Yeah. And so, anyways, to kind of bring it all together, there's serendipity, euphoria, singularity, and epiphany. These are the orders in which they were revealed, I believe.
Yeah.
Did euphoria come before singularity?
Yes.
Okay.
For sure.
So, serendipity is kind of like this found love, this new feeling of love, which is so beautiful and happy and amazing. Yes. I mean, who doesn't love that? It's a blissful moment
in
life.
It is blissful. And it's hopeful. Yeah.
Yes, very hopeful.
But the other thing in serendipity, there is some anxiety in it because in the chorus he says, like, he basically says, although I know our love is true, I'm afraid of, like, the universe. Like, I'm afraid of what could happen, like, to us that would affect us.
Yes, yes, that is very true.
So
then we had euphoria next, which is like euphoric moments of falling in love. If we're going along with the order in which they were released, I mean, after you fall in love, like, yes, there's definitely pure euphoria. I mean, people call it the honeymoon phase. You're just happy. You're just happy. No matter what you're doing together, you're happy. Even bad times feel like good times, you know?
Yeah. So then singularity, it's like you're lost. Everything starts to crumble. You don't know who you are. And as we see, like, in that era, they're literally crushed under the weight of wearing
a mask.
Literally
crushed, yes.
Literally crushed by a huge fucking wall.
Yes. And singularity, too, like, they talk a lot about changing yourself for someone else. And I'm like, oh, my God, if you're in a bad relationship, we talked about this. If you're in a bad relationship, you will change yourself because you love that person and you just want them to like you. And then you end up not being you and you just feel lost and you crumble.
Yes. So then epiphany is like this realization at the end, like loving ourselves first is the only answer, which we should have known, but we didn't.
Yeah. But I mean, that's it. I mean, it's an epiphany. It's something that you knew all along, but you didn't know was the answer. It's just like, boom.
So
it
I feel
all
like,
makes sense now.
Yeah. I feel like Answer, the whole album, is going to kind of help us through the steps on how to get to that point where we love ourselves.
I hope so, too. I'm excited for
it. Me, too. I'm really fucking excited.
Okay. So to kind of wrap this up, our overall impressions.
Mm-hmm.
So something I just want to say about it that I kind of thought about while doing all this research was we joke and say that Jin is kind of the mom of the group.
Mm-hmm.
But Jin quite literally is the mom of the group. I mean, he really became a mother to these six boys and loved and cared for them like a mother who loves and cares for their children.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, he's cared for them with his gentle spirit. He's inspired them with his confidence. They raised him with his wisdom. He embarrassed them with his goofy expressions and bad jokes. He's even quite literally fed them with his phenomenal culinary skill. So I'm just so happy that Jin got this song. I'm so happy Jin is the one who wrapped up this series, this Love Yourself series. I think he's the most perfect man in the group to do it. He delivered it in such a way that we could really understand what loving yourself is and how difficult the journey to loving yourself is. And I just want to thank fucking Kim Seok Jin for giving us this amazing song.
Yes.
Thank you, Big Hit. Thank you, BTS. I'm in love. I can't wait for Answer.
Bethany, you just did a great job of summing it up.
I'm just yelling into my microphone and I'm literally raising my fists in the air like, yes.
You were ranting. Okay. So I think this song is so wonderful in so many ways. Lyrically, it's meaningful and deep while remaining succinct, and his vocals are absolutely stunning and hopeful and just so beautiful. And the music backing his vocals really fit the theme of the lyrics and just lift him up. And the style of the music video is open to so much interpretation, which is what makes it really interesting.
And it's what they want, too.
Yeah. And I just love everything about it. Within the first few seconds of beginning the music video for the first time, I was sold. I was like, yes, I love this. I'm all in.
Yes. So well done. So well done.
Anyways, you guys, I guess this is kind of like the end of the, you know, Content Couch Guy episode.
Content Couch Guy episode?
Oh, Content Couch Jin. I don't know. You know, he's like car door guy.
Oh, yeah.
Third guy from the left.
Guy. No, but yes, this has been such a wonderful episode. Honestly, when we were doing research, I was like, this is gonna be so amazing. Epiphany really blew us away. And
completely.
It should blow all of you away. Keep streaming it, keep listening to it. It's just so good.
Yes.
You can't stream it yet because it's not on Spotify.
But you can keep watching it on YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah, remember when I said I didn't care if BTS won, all the awards?
We need a Grammy, though.
Yeah, we need a fucking Grammy. Second of all, BTS is 40th in the world for, musical artists as far as, awards. And
they're just three or four away from the Beatles.
Yeah, they're four behind the Beatles, and it's pretty fucking cool. So anyways, I'm now I would just want BTS higher on that list so they have that recognition. But anyways, so if you liked this episode, first of all, we really enjoyed being here with you guys and hanging out and talking. It's always so fun. And you can, we, of course, want to hear from you. We love to hear from you. So you can email us at standingbtspodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at standingbtspod. You can follow us on Instagram at standingbtspodcast and like our Facebook page, standingbts. And then if you would like to support us in another way, you can do so by going to patreon.com/standingbts and becoming a ranking officer in the BTS Army by subscribing to a tier. There's been a few of you that have already done it. It is so amazing and so appreciated. And,
yes,
you know,
thank you guys so much.
You know, maybe one day we could afford to pay someone to edit these podcasts so we could make them longer and not have to cut out things that we really want to talk about.
That's the dream.
That is the dream.
Find someone to fucking edit this shit.
Seriously. And like, you know, then we could talk for 2 fucking hours.
Ugh, amazing.
But we just can't do that right now. So if you know, if you want to support us in that way, you can do that at patreon.com. You can also do a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbts. And of course, you can find links for all of that in the description.
In the description. Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.